In our study this month, we have found God's plan and God's promises, and today, God's praise. Why should the praise of God be given to Him? Just because He is God is a reason. In Psalms 33 at verse 5, it is noted, "The earth is full of the goodness of God." Because plants come forth and yield their fruit, and you and I enjoy the food that comes from that, we should look up and thank God. Psalm 33, verse 5, "The earth is full of the goodness of God." The vegetables and fruits that come from God, the various critters that grow and develop from God, these are harvested for you and me to enjoy as food crops for ourselves, and we should thank God for being there and providing for us. No wonder it is that Jesus said in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that the rain falleth on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the just and the unjust. These are the physical blessings that God has provided. We should praise Him for them. A little bit later in Psalm 34 at verse 8, it is said, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusteth in him." Psalm 34, verse 8. The scripture affirms to you and me there that we can taste things that God has provided, and we can realize that it's the Lord that provided that good flavor that we taste. We're told because of that, "Blessed is he that trusteth in him." A little bit later, Solomon will write in Proverbs 3 at verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Notice that we find that we are to, with our whole heart, give it unto God. We're to be people who trust in him with our whole heart, because that's the way he would have it to be. We are to sing praises to the Lord, Psalm 9 and verse 11. And in singing praises to the Lord, we find a just one to receive it, because we praise him for his great goodness of this earth. But there's more to the praise of God, for there is the story of God's redemption. As we read along in the scriptures, we find that God wanted to buy back man to himself, redeem man to himself. And thus we read in regard to this matter, "He hath sent redemption unto his people. Holy and reverend is his name." Psalms 111 and verse 9. For this reason, we petition others not to use the title reverend as to a man, because holy and reverend is his name, the one that has sent redemption unto his people. When you and I find the redemption of God, we look up and thank the awesome God. And that's what that word reverend means. It means one who is awesome, one who is terrible, one who is uniquely qualified. And God is all of that. He is wonderful. He is holy and reverend is his name. Lord Jesus had talked about those who call others Father and how they fall into the prey of those who in that day and time wanted honor and dominion over others. And he said, "Call no man upon the earth your father, for one is your Father who's in heaven." Jesus is speaking of the spiritual nature of man and calling others by a title of some kind. "All ye," he said, "are brethren." We are brethren one with another. And we should serve this God of heaven who is reverend and majestic. More than this, we find ourselves following the way of God in his path of righteousness in his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, we read how that we are converted to the Lord, that we are redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain conversation received from the tradition of our fathers, but that we are saved by his own word. As his word directs us, we follow in suit and obey his word, and as a result of that, we find redemption provided by God. Redemption provided by God is unique for us, for it came through His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God who came and who loved us and gave Himself for us. As we find that great blessing, we'll want to be all that Jesus asked us to be. And the Hebrew writer says that in Hebrews 5 at verse 9. Though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. We need to obey Him. We all need to obey Him. We need to follow His way. And we need to praise God for His coming because He offered for us salvation. Scarcely had Jesus become and begun His ministry, but that He said in John chapter 10, I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. It's amazing that Jesus wanted us not only to live life, but live it in such an abundant way that we find ourselves blessed of God. That abundant spirit is talked about by Simon Peter again in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. He tells you and me to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love or charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but a certain guidance into the everlasting kingdom. When you and I enter that everlasting kingdom, it is because we've lived that abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10 and that Simon Peter spoke of here in 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 5. Because we add these things abundantly unto our lives, if we abound in these things, we will be entered into the everlasting kingdom someday. When you and I follow the ways of the Lord, we find redemption, and isn't that a reason for us to praise Him? Hallowed be His name, for He has brought redemption unto His people. What a blessing it is. Are you obedient to the gospel of Christ? Do you need today to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? You'll find in Acts chapter 2 the example of conversion. For those people on the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The work of you and for you and me is to obey that Lord and be added by the Lord to His church, Acts 2, verse 47. He can do that this very day. Will you come as we stand and as we sing?